What is up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Combo's Court. Don't forget to rate, review, punch down on that subscribe button wherever you tune in to the show. And shouts to our sponsor, Prize Picks. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. For a first deposit match up to $100, use code COMBO. That's right. Use code COMBO for a first deposit match up to $100. I'll leave a link in the show notes for that. Using code COMBO on Prize Picks is also a great way to support the show. Let's get into it. D Mills, numbers on the board. Welcome back to the show, man. What's the vibes?
What's good, Combo? How you doing? The vibes are always immaculate over here, man. I'm feeling good, living better. How you doing?
I am doing well. You know, it's a new chapter for you. ESPN, Omaha, numbers on the board. I want to get to that, but not quite yet. My question to you is, how do you feel about the current offense-defense balance in the NBA?
Oh, man, you're coming out with the heavy hitters already. For me, I think in the regular season, I think the offense is, it brings the attention of like the casual fans, night-to-night basis. Teams aren't going to show up throughout the regular 82 games. It's going to be some nights where you can go into a game and the Wizards can hit 15 threes. And now you just like, damn, what can't do anything, even though you probably a very high rated defense. Sometimes your defense just may not show up that night. But when it comes playoff time, you do see the flip, where now you see games going to 98 to 97, 101, 102. Like, the pace goes down, the scoring volume goes down. So, like, you don't see that high-powered offense on a regular basis. Even, like, the teams that have, like, the number one offense in the league, you see a regression in offense when it comes playoff time. So, for me, it's pretty much just like, regular season is fun, but when it comes to playoff time, it comes back to reality.
Would it be better for the NBA if the postseason looked like the regular season, the regular season looked like the postseason?
So you're saying the postseason looked like the regular season?
Okay, no, the vice versa.
Oh, if the regular season looked like the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
It could be boring for like a casual fan, but I feel like us basketball junkies, we would love it. Like, we would love it. But, like, on a night-to-night basis, is a casual fan going to want to watch a 98 to 100 game? Or would they rather watch a game that goes 120 to 126?
Yeah. It feels like they're going to do something subtle, right? Like, everything we're hearing from the league, from Adam Silver. Like, remember when we were hearing all the rumblings about the midseason tournament? Those weren't just rumblings. Like, that was going to happen. And exactly. I think from what you're hearing, like, there are going to be some changes made.
I'm not against it. I just don't know what the change is. I hope it's not removing the defensive three. For me, I just don't. It sounds clunky.
I mean, imagine just having Wemby down there.
That's what I'm thinking about. If you take that away, guys like Rudy, Wemby, Anthony Davis, even Joel Embiid, they can literally just sit in the paint the entire game. And to some extent, depending on who they're defending, now if they're guarding like a team like the Celtics, where they have Porzingis, or like a team like the if the Timberwolves were to put Cat to five or something like that, then yeah, you have the big has to come out. But a lot of teams don't have a big that can shoot the three ball well, so a lot of bigs will just sit in the paint.
Don't you think more bigs than ever could shoot the three though?
You saying is there more bigs now?
More bigs that could shoot the three than ever. No.
I mean, to a certain extent, like it's only like really like when I think about 3-point shooting bigs, it's mainly Cat and Porzingis. And then there's a dip.
Miles Turner.
He's solid, but there's like a gap between Porzingis.
That's true. And Cat. That's fair.
And then everybody else is like, there's a drop. There's a big drop off from that, if we're being honest. Yeah. Or do you think there's somebody that's messed? Do you think somebody else should be in that same conversation?
With Porzingis and Cat? Oh, that's tough. That's tough. So.
I mean, Cat said it himself. Greatest shooting big ever. I mean, he's up there. We have to say Dirk, obviously, but he's up there, man.
No, I'm just talking about in the league now. There's no bigs that's really in that same category as them.
I mean, Chet could get there.
Chet could get there. Wimby could get there as well.
Yeah.
But as of right now, it's just those two that are like, okay, we have to guard them. Like, we have to prioritize not letting them get the three.
Yeah. What's one thing you would change about the NBA?
I mean, it's mainly just like the flopping stuff.
Okay.
Be more strict and more enforcing on that. Because that's one way why the games are so high scoring. Players just manipulate the refs. So you can somehow kind of enforce that, change it a little bit, and make it to where the players are held accountable for doing it.
Yeah. I said we were going to get back to your career, and I want to. The transition from the old show to ESPN. What was your most memorable moment from the old show, and how has the transition been to the new show? Like, does it feel like status quo? Like, you guys are doing the same show? Does it feel different? Like, how's it been for you? How's it been for the fan base?
For me, it's been the same show.
Yeah.
I know the first episode was a little rough.
I know, like, audio, it's, like, exactly the same. Now, the visual experience is obviously different.
Yeah, I would say, actually, I would say our audio is better. Like, I would say.
Okay, that's fair.
More so from, like,
I mean, in terms of, like, content.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. I know you're saying from a content standpoint, but I'm saying, like, a lot of people complain about our mics being too low.
Oh, really?
Like, the mic is too high, or, like, I can barely hear him.
They're just looking for things for the Switch, right?
Yeah, now you don't see those comments no more. So from an audio standpoint, it's been one hell of an upgrade. We just do the same thing. It's been the same vibe. The fan base at first was a little against it. They didn't like it. They thought we were too corporate. But now, as we got more comfortable, they were like, okay, it's the same show. That first day, it was very bad. I ain't going to lie to you. Very buttoned up, very TV-esque, and like we weren't being ourselves. Now we're a little bit more loose, a little bit more comfortable, and I would say it's definitely the same exact vibe, same exact show that they all love.
Yeah. What was your favorite or your most memorable moment about the old show? I mean, Studio J has to be up there.
Studio J was definitely up there, especially in an interview with Stephen Clay, sitting in Shaq's seat.
Yeah. The suits, you guys Shaq. Had the suits on?
Yeah, I was baby Shaq sitting in Big Shaq's seat. Also, interviewing Anthony Edwards was really good. That was dope. Chemistry with A1. He's a very entertaining person. Being able to talk to Derrick Rose again. Well, not again, but like, it was just so crazy because like, he's a Chicago native. Kind of just, it's like in awe. It's like, you're kind of like in a way like starstruck that like, damn, I'm talking to Derrick Rose. Like, I used to look up to him as a kid, and like, he was like our childhood hero here in Chicago. And like, to be able to say I'm sitting here interviewing him, it's kind of surreal.
Yeah. You know, somebody else you follow very closely, Dame Dollar. We know you're a Dame guy, D-Mills. But like, this Bucks team. So, my thing is, I've been saying this the whole season. Like, I just believe in Giannis and Dame as playoff performers more than any other duo in the East. And I might be holding on, but I still have them coming out the East, even though Boston has been historically dominant, but I'm gonna stick with my pick from the East. What do the Bucks have? I mean, it's been better lately besides last night. It's been better. What do the Bucks have to do to have Dame become the best version of Dame, like the Dame we saw in Portland? Because the skill set is still there. I mean, his athleticism hasn't declined that much. He's a little bit older, but what do you think the Bucks have to do to let Dame be Dame?
I don't really know, because we've had a big sample size of it, and obviously there's been a big adjustment period for him from going from the franchise guy being his team. He can do no wrong there, because the city was gonna ride with him regardless. To like, now he's legitimately looked at as a team that's supposed to come out the East and go to the finals. So I don't know what you could really do to help him get more comfortable with playing with Giannis. I wouldn't say he's uncomfortable, but when you see him playing, like that game recently where they played, when did he go off for 41?
I mean, Giannis didn't play that game. I know that.
Yeah. Giannis was a late scratch because of his Achilles, and Dame looked fluid. And it was against the Clippers. They went against the Clippers. He went against the great Clippers out East, who's been having a out West, who's been having a great season. Just him and Bobby Portis just carried the show. They both went out and went crazy. Yeah. So I think there's a way where they could figure it out. Hopefully they figure it out by playoff time. But like, it is kind of weird to see that they kind of, their skill sets benefit each other. But like, Giannis is still doing his thing. Giannis is Giannis. But like, you could definitely tell that Dame is not, he doesn't play the same aggression.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Giannis is going to be Giannis. So if I'm Doc, I'm just trying to get Dame to be as comfortable as possible.
And I think it's maybe he just has to be the way he is. Maybe this is just the version that we get, and then throughout the regular season, but then playoff time, maybe there's a certain switch just flipped. And I think Pat Bev being there has been great for them.
I mean, what he does to teams, right? Like Chicago last year.
Yeah,
I mean the Bucks this year. You're a Chicago guy.
When Pat, I don't know, Pat Bev, he just has that energy to him that's contagious, and maybe he really is that dude that say things that most people wouldn't say in a locker room. Like,
does he embody a Chicago attitude? Is that like Chicago to you?
Yeah, I would say so. He's definitely like that gritty, in your face, tough nosed defender. Like, yeah, he definitely embodies that because it. Oh, no, never mind. I was thinking of a school, but he didn't go to that school. But if there's a school here called Proviso East, and like,
I heard of it, yeah.
Pat Bev like embodies that Proviso East defense that they play all year round with their full court in your face, pressing you. Like, that's the type of mentality that he plays with.
Yeah, if you look at the numbers, I mean, the Celtics are playing like an all-time team, all-time dominance. Do you have any team beating them in the East? Like I think it's the Bucks. Like, do you see another team coming out the East?
I mean, for me, it was the Bucks.
Oh, you changed up. You changed up on me, D-Mills. Come on, man.
Wait, what you talking about?
You said it was the Bucks.
You said, do I see a team that could beat the Celtics? That's what your question was, right?
Yeah. So I'm saying it sounds like you're like off the Bucks a little bit now.
How? I just said that I think the Bucks could beat the Celtics.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you right. My
fault. Oh, yeah. I think the Bucks were a team that I think could beat them.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the talent out East, though, the Sixers, are without Joel Embiid, stands no chance in hell. With Joel Embiid, I think that's a different question. I think they do stand a legit chance. Do I see the Heat? Does Spoelstra have some sort of scheme? Is his scouting department in there cooking up some shit in case they do match up with them to where we now see them upset them again? Like, that's a team that was down 3-0. I know it's a little bit of different personnel, but they were down 3-0 to the Heat last year. So that's a team that I don't want to bet against, but I also understand what that coaching staff does to teams that, like, they have a scouting report that's so detailed and so amazing that they somehow manipulate teams when it comes playoff time.
Well, I mean, I think it speaks to what you were talking about earlier, like how the regular season is a lot different than the postseason.
Yeah, but the thing is with the Celtics, though, that they just seem so damn good. And, like,
they do.
But we've seen teams be look so good in the regular season, but then come postseason, yeah, it is a little different. The Bucks, if the Bucks took a little minute to get over the hump, they would be dominant through the regular season, but then they get bounced.
So you see that kind of energy that the postseason brings benefiting the Bucks over the – like, it obviously benefits Miami, but do you see that benefit in the Bucks?
I think it would benefit the Bucks a little bit.
Yeah, especially with Pat Bev there.
Yeah, and just that physicality of the game.
Like, yeah.
The Celtics already don't get to the line a lot, and they don't get to the basket a lot. So, like, a guy like Giannis is just going to consistently just be relentless at getting to the basket and putting pressure on the rim – every single possession that could benefit the Bucks a lot, man. Especially when you're talking about getting to the free throw line, putting guys like Porzingis in foul trouble. Like, that's a lot to handle.
Yeah, you saw the way the Warriors were guarding Jaylen Brown.
I did. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was very stupid, actually. But Draymond Green on his podcast has said something that, like, you don't guard him like that because he can't shoot. You guard him like that because you think he's going to just start taking dumb shots and it's going to mess up the rhythm of their offense.
I mean, you've seen that, D-Mills. Like, some good shooters are better with defense on them, but it's like, you know, you ever see, like, somebody who you kind of get in their head because you're not guarding them at all. It just didn't work at all.
I don't think you just leave all-star wing wide open.
I mean, the guy could shoot too. Like, he's one of the best turnaround shooters in the league. Like, his jump shot has improved from every level.
Yeah, I mean, they are a team that just kind of forced them left in a playoff series too. Like, in the finals, they just had to just make them go left, and it worked. So,
yeah.
But that scheme right there, I would never leave a wing of his caliber just wide open.
Yeah.
It's just not.
They thought he was like Ben Simmons.
Yeah, you can't just guard him like he's Ben Simmons or Josh Giddey. Like, you have to got to guard him like he's an all-star.
The Josh Giddey thing is interesting because I wonder if they're going to change their starting lineup when the playoffs come. I doubt it, though. They just have too much chemistry.
Are you saying who are they taking out? Are they putting in Gordon Hayward? Or are they going to put in Isaiah Joe?
Yeah. Gordon Hayward. I mean, that's interesting if he could play like Gordon Hayward.
But, like, they're not even really playing Gordon Hayward. It would be weird to see them.
Like, we don't know what Gordon Hayward is, right? We don't know who he is now.
Not even on this team. Like, they're not. He doesn't get a lot of minutes consistently. He just kind of plays like 20 minutes a game. Yeah. Maybe even less sometimes. I don't know. I don't know how to gauge Gordon Hayward at this point in his career.
Yeah.
He's a very good basketball player when he's playing, but, like.
Do you think the Giddey thing could become a problem?
No. Okay. I think they're just too good. And they have enough depth to where they could just settle. We ain't on shit. Isaiah Joe, let's get it. Let's ride. They can't. Let them dare leave you. We got you. We gonna find you.
Best chance to win the West outside of Denver?
No, the Clippers.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
They're looking a little different right now, right?
Right now, but what did you expect? I feel like every team goes through a rough patch. I think the Clippers just so happen to come right now. They looked great after the five games after the James Harden trade, and they hadn't missed a beat. And now it just so happened post All-Star break, they kind of a little out of whack, a little out of rhythm. But, like, I think realistically, I think they can get back to where they were. Especially when you talk about Kawhi, Paul George, Harden. Russ is probably going to be back by playoff time. So they're so deep and so talented that. And I just think a guy like Kawhi could really just, it would be tough to see him in that series with OKC. Kawhi's a playoff riser, like real playoff riser. Yeah, and he's the type to go out and want to. He's gonna be like, I'm guarding Shea. He's gonna be out. He's gonna be like, I'm guarding Shea this game. Like, that's the type of guy he is.
Toronto Kawhi was different.
Oh yeah, Spurs Kawhi had the Warriors down 20 in that first half.
Yeah, yeah.
Still crazy to think that if he don't land on Zaza's foot, how that maybe could have went.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the rough patch and the Lakers. Like, they go through crazy rough patches, and I never seen a team in terms of the narrative, in terms of the way they're playing, that has been as much of a roller coaster that the Lakers have been this season. Like, if you look at the talking points around the league when it comes to NBA media or anywhere else, you think the Lakers could win a title, then the next day it's like, you think the Lakers could get out the play-in? Like, the way, like, the talking points change from day to day with the Lakers is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird to see a team that they've been begging for Anthony Davis to have his year, and they get it, and they're still the 10th seed. Seems like as of right now, them and the Warriors are kind of just competing for who's going to have home court in that first play-in game. That's really how it looks like it's playing out right now, unless Dallas falls. But, yeah, it's going to be tough, man, because them, Sacramento, Dallas, the Warriors, and the Lakers, they're kind of all in the same area. Yeah. Like, the Lakers are, like, maybe the worst team of the bunch, or the Warriors.
Worst team, but probably not the least chance to win a championship in a lot of ways, right? Like, because their peak is higher.
Their peak is definitely higher. But I just hate the idea of them having to fight from the bottom all the way up.
You talk about the Warriors more or the Clippers? I mean, you talk about the Warriors more or the Lakers now?
The Lakers. You got to starting from if you do make it in, you're the eighth seed or the seventh seed, you got an uphill battle in order to get to the championship. Your odds are just stacked against you. You don't have home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs. You're always going to start the first two games on the road. And you're always going up against, like, legitimate, really, really good teams. Teams that, like, are number one, number two seeds the whole time.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to say that that's your route to go to the finals.
Yeah. And the Warriors roller coaster, too. I thought Wiggins was gone for the season. Now he's back.
Now he's back, yeah.
That's crazy, bro.
They both teams have been so confused. Maybe this is just like we're seeing like the transition of an era.
You know when like it's official when SGA and OKC take out one of those teams and like SGA has like a big moment. Mm-hmm. I think that's when like, you know, we know about SGA, but I think that's when like the general sports fan starts to learn about him, you know, when he beats one of those teams.
Is Shea your MVP?
I mean, Jokic is really the best player in the world, but I'm not mad if Shea gets MVP. What are your thoughts?
I'm not against either or. Jokic has been playing amazing, but Shea is – he's really catapulted that team to the number two seed. When they were – they didn't make the playoffs last year. I don't remember seeing them. Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs last year. So.
Yeah, I mean, Chet has been a huge difference.
Chet's been
how good he's been, and not only that, like – he was the perfect player to fill that gap that they needed, you know?
Oh, yeah, they needed a big. They literally didn't have a big last year.
Yeah.
So for them to have a legit center, I would be interested to see what they do this offseason, though. Like, do they want to experiment with Chet at the four and go get, like, a real, like, bruising big or, like, a rim-running center, like a Claxton?
Oh, that'd be crazy. But it kind of gives you the Josh Giddey problem again, right?
How so?
I mean, you don't have to guard him on the perimeter.
Who?
Claxton.
I mean, well, I'm not asking him to stay in the corner. He's going to be setting screens, them running, lobs.
That's true.
That's the big that's out on the perimeter. I'm not asking Claxton to do that.
That's true. That makes sense. It does fill a gap. Like, that's like a different kind of gravity, right? Like, everybody thinks about gravity of the perimeter, but that's another, like, style of gravity.
Oh, yeah. When you're a rim-running lob threat like Claxton is.
Like Derek Lively for what he is with the Mavs,
And he's so versatile defensively. Like, he could switch on all positions. Yeah. He has quick enough feet to where he could switch. I'm not saying he's locking up guards. Like, you just tell him, hey, go guard Steph. But no, he can switch onto a guard if the pick and roll situations.
Does the cat injury change the conversation when it comes to the West for you?
Depending on how significant and how long.
Yeah. I mean, it's a meniscus. I would think 6 to 8 weeks, so just off the top of my head from dealing with knee injuries.
Oh, you've had a lot of knee injuries?
Yeah. So, I mean, a meniscus is 6 to 8, usually, unless they do something different.
Oh, wow. You've had your meniscus torn?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I mean, that was the easiest one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I've had ACLs, so. Meniscus isn't, it's okay. It's like, he could be okay. He'll be all right. But, I mean, that time that he's not there, they won't be. But he could be back to himself by playoff time.
I think they're okay, though. They could slide Cal Anderson in there. Naj Reid still coming off the bench. They can make it work.
They're legit title contenders?
They look like it. I would say so. But I would say so just because the West is so stacked. I think they have like four legit contenders to me when you talk about Timberwolves, OKC, Denver, Clippers. Well, I think those are like the four of the bunch that I would say are like legit threats to win it all.
Say that one more time. Who are your legit threats? Outside of Denver, obviously.
Clippers, OKC, Timberwolves.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Phoenix hasn't been consistent enough for me.
Phoenix
also struggles to close out games.
I didn't like them as a title contender like when the season started. But I would say, like, I said this before, they beat Denver. Like, they could pose some difficulties for Denver because they just play totally different than Denver. Like the Kings will never, ever beat Denver. But if you kind of like go with a death lineup against Denver, drag Jokic out, I could see a world where things could get difficult. But those teams that kind of play like Denver or have no chance against Denver.
Are you saying a death lineup is KD at the five?
Yeah.
But then KD has to guard Jokic.
That's an issue. I mean, in the OKC matchup, Chet has to guard Jokic, right? It's like the same thing.
Yeah. But I think Jokic is so damn good, you don't go small against him.
So, yeah, I mean, first of all, I didn't like the Suns as contenders just for the roster construction, the depth and all that. I mean, their depth got a little bit better, but I just feel, I mean, they did beat Denver the other night with no Booker, but that's just the regular season.
Yeah, and they That overtime, they really like put their foot on their necks. KD hit two big threes. Bradley Beal hit a big three. It was just like, damn, y'all just came out like this? I thought for sure the Nuggets had some fight in them in OT, but KD and Bradley Beal just kind of just, they just took it over.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's end with this. You're a Chicago guy. What have you made of Kobe White's leap?
Oh, it's been pretty fun. I didn't know he had this in him. I thought he was like a six man type of guy, but to see him come out and like legit look like a starting point guard in this league, it's been pretty amazing. Cause that was kind of a hole in the spot since Lonzo was out. Like Lonzo was out, didn't really know who the point guard was. They was kind of throwing at Caruso. They drafted Io, and then Kobe White was in and out. Now he's locked it in as like he's a starting guard, and it just gives you excitement for the future. Cause like, he's still young. He's on a cheap contract. Not saying you building around him, but you got a piece there that you like, okay, we got something if we do blow this up, and now we can go get other pieces.
I mean, you're surprised he made it. He got to this level. Do you think there's like some star potential there, like legit star potential? He's playing like it at times now. It's just on a really bad team.
Yeah, I don't want to put a cap on him just because he's already proved me wrong. I know it took him a few years. But I think that's why we got to be patient with players.
100%.
Sometimes
people call people bust after like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
People were calling, you were at Summer League. People were calling Wemby a bust, bro. I'm not even lying. People in the crowd.
Yeah. And I think that's just unfortunate, especially when you talk about the point guard position.
Right.
The point guard position is like so hard. Like it takes a while to adjust and learn how to make reads and how to read a pick and roll, how to read being trapped and blitzed and. There's a lot of things that they throw at point guards that they have to learn and adjust to how to read. And just takes time at that PG spot. And not everybody can come in and be Luka and Trae Young. Like, takes time a little bit.
Yeah, most definitely. Most all develop is not linear. That is for sure. D Mills, what's up for you? What's up with you? ESPN Omaha, numbers on the board. What's coming up? Talk to me, man. What you got?
I mean, as of right now, we have nothing really like scheduled. I just think we're just trying to pump out content consistently at a high level.
Yeah. Which you guys always done.
Yeah. That's right now. We don't have any like tours, anything planned right now, but we're just trying to get back to our main audience. Last channel had 318,000 subs, just on an upward trajectory. And we're just trying to get back to that. That's kind of right now what our heads is at, getting back to building our audience.
It's been good to see you guys on that NBA ESPN channel on YouTube. Like,
oh,
some of
your
clips get repurposed there, which has been great to see.
Yeah, I see them every now and then. I'm like, is this us? And they say numbers on the board in the middle. I'm like, I'm like, dang, we on ESPN YouTube now. That is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even be knowing they on there. I like have to go to ESPN's account.
And you'll never know like what clip is going up or anything like that. They'll just pop up randomly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dope though. That's dope, man. ESPN. You know?
Yeah.
That's dope, man.
What's going on with you though? How you doing?
Man, a lot of shows, bro. Just a lot of shows. I'm working with the NBA Report right now, which is a YouTube channel where my podcasts live. I got an in-studio show right from Combos Court Studios. I'm with Prize Picks now. A lot going on, man. Yeah, doing a lot of shows with Coach Nick. Yeah, just a lot of shows, man.
Oh, that's amazing. Shout out to you, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You're doing your thing.
Yeah, appreciate you. You're doing your thing as well. D Mills, let's talk soon, man.
All right, bet. Appreciate you for having me.
Yes, sir. Talk soon.